Come to the book of John, chapter 16. John, chapter 16, give you a thought here that the Lord put on our heart. Hope it'll be a help to you. It was me as I look through these things. John, chapter 16. Look with me, if you would, to verse 16. It's funny to think how fast this year has gone by. I'm not preaching a New Year's message or a resolution message or something like that. But it's funny to think, boy, year's gone by pretty quick. The older you get, the more and quicker they go by. And see, y'all young folks, y'all don't understand that. You say, you crazy preacher. It's still the same amount of time, man. Yeah, it is. But I'm going to tell you something. They roll by a lot faster the older you get. Amen. It wasn't just a minute ago we was just getting married. Well, that's come on 24 years coming up here. It's easy for me to remember that one, brother. 2024. I got it. But it's rolled on pretty quick. Brooks fixing to be 19 years old here in a few weeks. Now she's a Marine and going through all that stuff. And we'll say bye to her there Monday night's Tuesday morning. And might be a minute before we see her again. But years go by, brother. They go by, and this one snuck up on us again. So if you're going to promise God you're going to do something in 24, you better do it. Yeah. Best way to look at that thing. All right. I get that out of the way, and that was free, not part of the message. John 16, look in verse 16, if you would, with me. We'll read 4 or 5 verses here. The Bible says this, says, a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us, a little while? And ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, what is this that he saith, a little while? We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while? And ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me. Verily I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come, but as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your words this morning. Lord, I thank you for the Spirit of God we felt during the choir singing this morning. Lord, the good singing that lifts you up so much. Lord, we thank you for all you do. Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you for my pastor. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word. God, ask this morning that you'll just meet with the folks here from the pages of your word, Lord. Let your word speak for itself in the heart of man here this morning, or by maybe listening by way of radio. Lord, that your word make a change in somebody's heart this morning. That's what we're after, Lord. Lord, we want your word to make a difference in us. Father, I ask that you just watch over the message, Lord. Watch over the heart of the hearer. And Lord, just give us the grace to see the things that you have brought forth this morning. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray and praise his name for all he does. Amen and amen. Now, as we read this passage here this morning, starting in verse 16, you find a phrase that repeats from verse 16 through verse 17 7 times. Now, I've come to a point in Bible study, and when I read something, especially when I'm reading something that the Lord wrote down here in his Bible, when I see it repeat so many times in just a short stretch, I try to take note of those things, because there's got to be something important to it. He doesn't repeat himself if it wasn't something important. Amen? Sometimes I guess he repeats himself to us because we're so hard-headed and we don't listen the first time. I don't know if y'all are that way, but I will admit that I am that way. Mom always probably told me that. Now I've got a wife, and she'll tell me the same thing, that you're hard-headed, you don't listen. But when the Lord repeats himself over and over, you ought to take note of those things. A strange thing here, too, if you would notice there, from verse 16 through verse 19, you find that phrase, a little while, repeat 7 times. 7, we know, is God's number, and not everything is in numbers, but when you see those things, make note of them, because they're important. 7's a number of perfection, number of completion with God. I noticed something there Wednesday night. I shared it with Brother Jay this morning. If you were to turn over there, and it's not really part of the message, I'm just trying to get you to understand, to pay attention to these things when they repeat. But in Genesis chapter number 3, you find the first question in your Bible was the devil questioning God's word. If you keep reading that chapter and start watching those question marks as they show up, there's four more questions asked in that chapter. So that's a total of five questions. Right now, I'm working on a message for this. I ain't preaching it here this morning. But what I'm saying is the next four questions are asked by God because of how man reacted to the first question the devil made. You know what five is? The number of death. Guess what happened in Genesis chapter 2? Spiritually, what happened to Adam and Eve? They took of the fruit. What happened? They died. You better pay attention. See, you got to pay attention when you come to your come to things in your Bible. There was reminds me of a story. There was a man there. He had read there in 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 8. And it says there in 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 8 how a day is as 1,000 years with the Lord and 1,000 years is a day, right? And so this guy, he's a great thinker. You know, he likes to think things through and he likes to really pay attention to things before he starts talking about them. And he started thinking about it. I think, well, 1,000 years is a day with the Lord. And a day is 1,000 years. Then a penny to God must be worth thousands of dollars. So he said, you know what? I'm going to start praying. So he got down on his knees and said, Lord, if it just be in your will, I've gotten everything confessed that I know a sin in my life, right? Lord, if you just give me one of your pennies, Lord, it'd make things great. And the Lord answered him and said, sure, I'll give you a penny in a minute. The rest of y'all get that one in a little while, I guess. But the thing of it is, a little while is just something that's repeated. Actually, you'll find that phrase, a little while, in your Bible, in 19 different verses, or 19 times in 16 different verses. We're going to look at a few of them this morning. So I want to preach, and I'm going to give you that old cliche from a Baptist preacher. I'm just going to preach for a little while, all right? But you're going to see some things about that, and you're going to say, preacher, you might as well buckle up. No, I won't be long. I won't be long. First thing I want you to notice here, it's in our passage here to come to verse 19. It says, now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him and said unto them, do you inquire among yourselves of that I said a little while? And he said, and ye shall not see me. But he says, and again, a little while, and ye shall see me. The first thing I want you to understand about a little while, just by way of kind of getting this thing kicked off here, we're going to use this passage in John 16 kind of as a springboard, and then we'll wind up circling back to it toward the end. So if you want to keep your mark there, that would be a good idea. We will come back to it. But a little while, number one, is an undetermined amount of time. I was thinking about that thing. There's certain things. You can come to Hebrews chapter 6 if you would. There's certain things that I just don't like about in life. I don't like going to shopping malls. There's just nothing for me there. I get in a shopping mall, I get nervous, amen. I can go sit in Neyland Stadium with 100,000 folks there and not be nervous about everything around me. But boy, you put me in a shopping mall, I get nervous. There's something about it I don't like. Said, is it spending money? Says, no, it's some of the people that you find there. You can find some wild people in a shopping mall. But you know what you find in shopping malls all throughout them? You'll find benches. You know why you find benches in shopping malls and fellas sitting on them? Because mama went in the store and she said, I'll just be a little while. They had to have somewhere to sit. Well, now, we don't get a free pass on that thing either, fellas. Sometimes your wife may ask you to do something, may ask you, say, well, you do this, you do that. You're watching the ball game, right? You're watching the Braves play, the best team in baseball, right? How you watching them play and it's about the sixth inning and says, yeah, Lord, honey, it's just the sixth inning. I'll do it in just a little while. Well, guess what happens? The bottom of the ninth comes around, the score's tied and they keep going. What happened? Free baseball. A little while turned into a long time. Why? It's a little while is an undetermined amount of time. That's what the Lord said there. He says, and again says a little while and ye shall see me. I asked you to turn to Hebrews there. Come to chapter 6, look in verse number 10. Look at verse number. If you're going to understand a little while in God's eyes, you're going to need something. And I'm not going to preach on that one something this morning, but it's right here. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10 says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to full assurance of unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, and surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Brother Hicks told me a long time ago, I guess it was, he said, don't ever preach on patience if you don't have to. Why? Because you know what it takes to get patience? The Bible says tribulation worketh patience. I'm not going to preach on patience this morning. But you know what? You're going to have a little bit of patience to understand that a little while for God is just an undetermined amount of time. See, sometimes we want to force the issue. We are so spoiled. Years ago, I preached in one of our camp meetings in our short messages, the message on Welcome to McDonald's. Can I take your order? That was the title of my thought. I said this. See, we want a message off the dollar menu. Then we'll throw up a 30-cent upcharge prayer and expect a $1 million result. But that's not the way it works. Well, microwaves and fast food restaurants has ruined America. We have no patience. A perfect example for me, just the other day, I left Lowe's. I thought, you know, I hadn't had anything to eat yet this morning. Bojangles is right there. They got the best chicken biscuit in town. I'll just go through there and get me a chicken biscuit. The drive-thru was backed up so far that I said, you know what, chicken biscuit don't sound so bad, so good anymore. I'll go to Wendy's and I'll get me a bacon cheeseburger instead. I got to Wendy's, the drive-thru was backed up there. I said, you know what, a bacon cheeseburger don't sound so good anymore. I'll just go home and eat some peanut butter crackers. Why? I didn't have the patience to sit through the drive-thru window. Fast food ain't fast anymore, but it's ruinous. We want things just, we want it all like that. But sometimes, you know what the Lord told him? He said, in a little while, he says, you're not going to see me. He said, but again, in a little while, I'll be back. You'll see me. What is he saying? He says, sometimes a little, you need to understand, as we go through these things this morning, a little while is an undetermined amount of time. Back in John chapter 16, look in verse number 21. John 16 verse in our text passage here this morning, verse 21, the Lord uses this as he tries to explain what's going on to him here. As they were desirous, it said, to understand what he meant by a little while. He uses this. It says, and a woman when she is in travail has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. Now, you moms out there will understand this one. So the first thing to understand is a little while is an undetermined amount of time. But a little while is undeterred by the events and surroundings of what's going on. You realize that when you go into labor, ladies, most of y'all will understand this, that it sometimes wasn't at the most convenient of times. Whenever Creta went into labor with Madison there, we had sat down there to eat. It was during our camp meeting there, and we sat down there to eat. I was looking forward to hearing some preaching, but when she went into labor, I said, well, we'll just wait, all right? Oh, no, I didn't do that. I said, let's go. We got in a car, and of course, we probably could have come and listened to the preaching. She may not have enjoyed it as much because she was not in the greatest events going on physically there, but we had plenty of time. We had plenty of time. What are you saying? But those things are undeterred by the events that are surrounding you. See, a childbirth will come for a woman that's pregnant regardless of what's going on or what you had on plans or on taps. That thing just comes as it comes, as it will. Now come back to verse number 18 in our text this morning. See, there's three things to understand. A little while is an undetermined amount of time. It's undeterred by the surroundings of the future. But sometimes understanding it is harder to do. Watch what they said there. This is his disciples thinking amongst themselves there in verse number 18 as the Lord was telling them this thing is in a little while. He says, they said, therefore, what is this that he saith? A little while. We cannot tell what he saith. Sometimes it's hard to understand why we have to wait. We wait. Sometimes we wait longer than we have to because we're so impatient. But boy, sometimes it's just hard to understand what this a little while mean. You ever been told, say, well, we'll get to it in a little while, and you're still waiting on that little while to come around by something for somebody? Why? It's going to come around in a little while. That's what he's trying to get you to understand here. He's trying to get you to understand in a little while things are going to happen. Now, I said we're going to look at some of these in 16 verses, or 19 times in 16 verses, you find this phrase show up. The first one, if you would, come to the book of Job, chapter number 24. The first thing I want you to see this morning about a little while, I'll just be honest with you, these first three that we're going to look at are kind of rough. Sometimes you know what you need, though? Sometimes you need it a little rough. folks today got things so easy in some of this stuff, but I don't understand how they need to look at themselves and understand some things. Job chapter 24, we said, look in verse 23. It says, though it be given him to be in safety whereon he resteth, and he says this, which is an amazing thing. He says, yet his eyes are upon their ways. Whose eyes is he talking about? He's talking about the Lord. You know what he said there in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 1, and verse number 3. You'll probably read it tomorrow if you're reading your Proverbs. It says this, it says, to receive the instruction of wisdom and justice and judgment and equity. Yet his eyes are upon the ways. Look at verse 24, it says this, it says, and back in Job there, Job chapter 24, verse 24 says, they are exalted for a little while, but are gone and brought low. They are taken out of the way as all other, and cut off as the tops of the ears of corn. It says that they are exalted for a little while, but then it goes on and says, but they are gone and brought low. They are taken out of the way as all others, and cut off as the tops of the ears of corn. The first thought I want you to see in this thing a little while there this morning, I want you to see that the jubilation or excitement of sin will be over in a little while. Come to Numbers, if you would. We'll look in several passages here this morning. I want to give this thing its due diligence there, so be ready to turn any Bibles. Look in Numbers, if you would, chapter number 9. Give you another verse here that you can see here. It says, I'll wait till you get there. But what I'm trying to get you to understand, that the jubilation or the excitement of sin is only going to last a little while. We'll see some more verses on these things as we get into it. But sin, there's pleasure, the Bible says it, and we'll look at it in Hebrews here in just a minute. But there's pleasure in sin for a season, but I'm going to tell you something, that pleasure don't last very long. You know, tonight there will be several folks there because of the day that it is. It's New Year's Eve or whatever. They won't be in church on Sunday night. There'll probably be a lot of churches that turn out of church on Sunday night because it's New Year's Eve. I'm glad we didn't on that one, right? But what I'm saying is there'll be a lot of folks, they'll be looking for that next thing, right? They'll show up to their little party and they'll get their drink, and that drink will take them to a place that they wasn't going to on their own, right? They'll get something out of it. But you know what? That thing is only going to last for just a little while. Some of them might not wake up tomorrow morning because of that sin that they thought was going to be so pleasurable for a little while. Amen. They thought, well, this is going to be pretty good for a little while. Amen. It'll be all right. I know I got to get up and I got to go to work again. But just a little while, I'm going to have just a little bit of fun. And they'll get behind the wheel of that car and they'll try to drive home tonight. And guess what? They'll get in a wreck. They'll get in a wreck and they'll kill themselves or kill somebody else and wind up in jail. Why? Because they thought, well, sin, the jubilation of sin, it'll be good for just a little while. You see, that's what you're faced with today, young people. You're faced with folks that say, this is all fun and good for a little while. And it will be for a little while. And next thing you know, the fun's gone, the excitement's gone, the pleasure's gone, and you're in a place that you never thought you'd be in. Numbers, I asked you to turn to Numbers chapter 9, look in verse 13. It says, but the man that is clean and is not in a journey and forbear to keep the Passover, even the same soul shall be cut off from among his people. Because he brought not the offering of the Lord in his appointed season, that man shall, what? Bear his sins. Boy, there's a man named Jesus Christ. Come to 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. Jesus Christ bore the sin of many, the Bible says. 1 Peter, look in chapter 2, verse number 24. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. That's not right. It's 2 Peter, must be. Yeah, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. I hope. Nope. Oh, I wrote it down wrong. I did. He said he bore his sin. He bore our sin in his body. Is that not 2? It's not 24. It had to be. Oh, I'm in chapter 3. Oh, let me get to chapter 2. Yeah. Chapter 2. I was right the first time. Don't worry, folks. It's all right. The carnival will go on. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, this is who is in his own self, our sins in his own body, on a tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. You know what he did? He took our sins, he dropped them off in hell after he was crucified. Those things were paid for, and those things are paid for forever. Come to 2 Corinthians, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. We're going to turn to several places this morning. I hope you're ready. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse 18 says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." It says, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Boy, the jubilation of sin may last for a while, but let me tell you something. That thing's been paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells you in the book of John, chapter number 1 and verse number 12, it says this. It says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." See, we talked about how a little while is an undetermined amount of time, and I wanted you to understand this in the thought there out of that verse in Job chapter 24, verse 24. The jubilation of sin will last all right for a little while. You'll have fun for a little while. Bible says this in Hebrews. Hebrews is at chapter 10 there. It's in my notes. We won't turn there. But it talks about Moses there. Says rather than choose the affliction, he chose the affliction of his people rather than the pleasures of sin for a season. He was in the king's. He was in Pharaoh's house. Man, he had it made. But he said, "You know what? I'd rather be with my people than enjoy sin." Why? Because he knew it was just going to last a little while. Why? Because that thing's going to come up. There'll be a day, God said, "All right, you've enjoyed your time long enough. Here's your chance. You're going to get it right, or you're going to walk on with, or walk on the path you're on." You know what sin will do? It'll take you further than you want to go. It'll cost you more than you want to pay. And you'll wind up in a gutter somewhere without hope and without God if you don't trust him. Right. You know what happens to the sinner who dies in their sin? As you're turning, if you would, to Psalms chapter 37, you know what happens to them? They get reunited with their sin. And then they'll live there with the thought that these sins were paid for all this time. And all I had to do was say, "Yes, Lord, I'll take the payment." Aaron does a great job, if you ever listen to him or watch any of his videos, how he deals with people. He has a gift there that not many have. And he does a great job getting folks to understand by using the thing that he done all of his life. He was a police officer for however many years he had done that. He used the simple things of the law just to prove how God is real and how God does things and how he is going to require a judgment and a payment for sin. And it can either come from you, or you can accept what he done for Christ, with Christ. You see, the jubilation or the excitement of sin will last for just a little while. Here in Psalms chapter 37, look in verse number 10, says, "For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be." Can I say this? Number two, not only will the jubilation of sin last for a little while, but number two, let me say, justice is coming in a little while. You know what I don't understand today? I don't understand how murderers can walk freely in the streets. I don't understand how that anybody that's ever looked at your Bible and read the Bible and believed the book would say it's okay for a murderer to sit on death row for 30, 40 years. You know what happens to a land when they don't, God will curse a land for harboring a murderer. That's what your Bible talks about. You know what happens? There's families that hadn't got justice all over the thing. Amen. Hey, you give them the gospel, you give them a chance to get saved, but they chose the path. You say, well, there's people that are on death row that were wrongfully convicted. Maybe so, and I'll say that you've seen that happen. I understand that. But you know, you had to be a certain kind of person to be considered to be guilty of murder to begin with, a lot of times. That just don't come out of nowhere. There had to be something there. I'm not saying you just start, but I don't understand some of those things. But you know what? There's a flip side to that coin. That sin that you harbor in your life, that sin that you hold on to, that, oh, it's so dear to me. Preacher, I hold on. You hold on to it and you take care of it and you wash it and make sure it's clean. You iron it, make sure it's folded out just right, and you put it in the pocket and you carry it around with you. You know what's going to happen? Justice is going to have to be served one day. Are you ready for that? What if God called your number and you had something in your life that was between you and Him? He said, what about this? You carried it around for so long. I give you every message. Brother Jay preached to you hundreds of times. I don't know. Thousands of sermons and thousands of words in sermons that you've heard that God just said, just give it to me. You know what we like to do? We'll go forward, maybe. We'll get down. We'll pray and ask God for help and all those things. And we'll try our best to lay it down. But then we pick it back up and we carry it right back out the door with us. You say, preacher, does that happen? That's the way we are.
Yeah.
Why? Because the jubilation of sin will last for a little while. That excitement. But let me say this. The Bible tells us there in Psalms chapter 37, verse number 10, that justice is coming. Are you ready for justice? Listen, I want to see justice for folks that have been done wrong out there by the law. But you know what they want to do nowadays? They say, well, we want cashless bail. We want the criminals to run the streets. That's not justice. See, I can't understand all that stuff. I can't understand a lot of things going on in this world today. But I know this. The Bible says this. Justice is coming. Justice will come. Justice will come. You say that's not easy to hear. I know it's not easy to hear, but it's still the truth. If you would, not only will justice come, we had several things that we could have looked there. We could have looked at there again in Proverbs 1:3. You can look there if you would. We will read a few there. Look in Proverbs chapter 21. I want to give the thought it's due and show you some of these things from the book. Proverbs chapter 21, verse number 3. This is talking about the Lord. It says to do justice and judgment is more acceptable, what, to the Lord than sacrifice. Say, preacher, that sounds pretty hard. It is. We'll give stuff up, but we won't give up our sin to get the right kind of justice and the right kind of thing and judge the thing out right. Why? Because we like holding on to it. Psalms 89. Psalms 89. Just a few thoughts here real quickly, and we'll move on. It says this in Psalms chapter 89, verse 14. Says, justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. But he didn't stop there. Watch what he says. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Well, I'm glad he's had mercy on me. I'm glad he's had mercy on me. You'll find if you read there, and we want to read all that, but if you find there, if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 17, you'll find justice will be served to the Christian. That's the judgment seat of Christ. If you read Revelation chapter number 20, verses 11 through 15, you'll find the justice will be served for the lost, to those that died without Christ, without hope. That's the great white throne of judgment. You'll find in Psalms chapter number 9, verse number 20, that all nations are but men there. You'll find in Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 15, that nations are just a drop in a bucket. And you'll find as you look through some passages there in Matthew, and I didn't write them down, that you'll find that there'll be a judgment of nations and justice will come to nations. What are you saying? Justice will prevail over wickedness in a little while. Say, preacher, that stuff's not very easy to hear. I understand. Come to the book of Luke. That's why we have to preach. You ever looked at that thing? He says, all the gospel says for a reproof, rebuke, exhortation, all that long suffering, all that stuff. You know, most of that's negative. You know why? Because we're pretty messed up. Luke chapter number 22. We asked you to come to this morning. I want you to see a few. Here's you another one. Luke chapter 22. Here's the apostle Peter. And we know what's about to go on. The Lord's about to be betrayed there and all that was going to happen there. Look in verse number 54, if you would, in Luke chapter 22. Says, Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And here's Peter says, and he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. Watch verse 58 there. It says, and after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour after another, confidently affirmed, saying of truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, how he must have felt. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. You know, in just a little while, It just takes just a little while for a jury of your peers to make you turn and forsake the Savior. You say, what are you saying, preacher? Come to the book of Mark, if you would, chapter 14, looking at some more things about Peter. You say, preacher, I see what Peter did. There's no way I'd do any of that. Peter said the same thing. Peter said, no, I won't do that, Lord. Look in Mark, if you would, chapter 14. Look in verse 27. It says, and Jesus saith unto him, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. Here's Peter. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. Yeah, you say, that won't happen to me. Peter thought the same thing. You say, well, preacher, I really mean it. I really mean it. No, that won't happen to me. Look in verse 31. Peter thought the same thing. He says, but he spake the more vehemently. If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise, also, they said they all. He said, preacher, listen, I'm willing to fight to the death. Peter was too. Come on down in Mark 14, if you would. Look in verse 46. It says, and they laid their hands on him and took him. That's the Lord Jesus Christ after Judas had betrayed him there. And one of them that stood by drew a sword. And it's Peter, you find, if you read on in the other gospel accounts, and smote a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus answered and said unto him, are you come out as against a thief with swords and with staves? Do I take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you took me not, but the scriptures must be fulfilled. And what they done there, Peter there took his sword on. He said, I'll fight to the death. Peter was willing to fight to the death too. But you know what you found? You found two little girls and another fella. Just the jury of his peers caused him to forsake his Lord. You know what the hardest thing to do in a Christian life, if you're trying to be a witness and do things, is to witness to your family and to your friends. You'll get around them there at work there, and you get to work most times. If you're working a public job, you're kind of on an island by yourself a lot of times. You might have one or two here or there, right? Christians, good folks that you can hang around. But a lot of times out there in some of these jobs and these factories and things, you've got a bunch of rough folks out there. You know what it's hard to do? It's hard. You sit there and you hear all, and you try your best to turn it off, but you hear it. You know what's hard to do sometimes? It's hard just to speak up and say, hey, why don't you cut that out? I don't want to hear that. Let me tell you about the man named Jesus. Why? Because the jury of your peers will make you forsake the Lord. You say, preacher, that happened? Let me ask you, you ever been out somewhere, had a track in your pocket, or right there in the car door, right there next to me in my car? I've got some in the little container thing there that usually catches trash in most people's vehicles, but I got some tracks in there. And God say, hey, give that fellow a track. I say, Lord, I ain't got time. I'm a busy man, Lord. He's dying and going to hell. Will you give him a track? Will you take 2 minutes? What a jury of your peers. Well, public opinion matters way too much in our eyes. Why? Because we see that, we feel that. But boy, I'm going to tell you something. If we could see the look that Peter saw that night as he looked in the Lord's eyes after he denied him and said, I don't know him, and the cock crowed and they met eye to eye. Boy, it must have been agonizing for Peter. You know what it ought to be for us when we deny him like that? It ought to be agonizing for us. Why? Because we've denied the one that paid the price. We've denied him. You say, preacher, this has been pretty hard. You said this was going to get easier. All right, come back to our text there in John chapter 16. You say, preacher, a lot of these things weren't so great. Yeah. You know what? A lot of times, sometimes you'll find if we're really true with ourselves, we're not so great. But here we come to John chapter 16, and we saw these things there, as he says, a little while. And I like how he began to describe the thing to his disciples there. In verse number 20 in John 16, says, verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. They will. They did, while they took the Lord. But ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. And here's how he explained it. He says, a woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born
into the world. Now, I can't give you firsthand experience because I'm not a woman. I'm going to go ahead and throw this out there. There ain't a man that can carry a child. I don't care what they try to say today. That does not work. But ladies, y'all have something that us men don't have or don't possess. Y'all can take pain like no other folks. I'll be honest with you. I'm a wimp when it comes to pain. Most men are. I mean, if y'all are all honest, you say, "Yeah, preacher, you're right. We're wimps when it comes to pain. When we get sick, we're pretty bad, right?" Oh, I mean, you know, just a splinter. Now that woman right back there, I don't let her doctor me too much. No. She takes it out. She's like, "Oh, it's just a splinter. Shut up." She's rough. Boy, she wouldn't have made a good nurse. But you know what I watched there when Madison was born? I watched for like some 19-something hours there in a hospital, her in pain and agony and all that was going on and just the travail of childbirth going on. It was horrid. They say the closest a man can get is a kidney stone. I had one. Brother, you couldn't have seen it on the tip of an ink pen, but I thought I was dying. I said, if a woman has more than one kid, she's crazy. Listen, I watched her for those 19 hours and all that she did and all the hours or two that she pushed and all the stuff that was going on, not to be graphic or anything. But I watched her as she was almost beginning to fade. I almost felt like she was going to pass out, she was saying. But you know what happened as soon as Madison come forth and she was crying and they're over here checking her out and they're tending to all those things and I'm sitting there holding Madison in my arms and I'm not going to lie. I got tears running down my face. I cried like a baby. Why? Because there's something so precious that come from something so precious. And I saw this in her face. I saw joy like I'd never seen in my life. Why? Because of what had happened in those minutes. She went through some agony and anguish. But you know what she found out? She found out that joy was coming in a little while. Well, let me say something, Christian. You know what's coming in a little while? Joy is coming in a little while. Take your Bibles, look in Psalms with me, if you would. Psalms with me. Listen, we're almost done. Psalms with me, if you would. Chapter number 30, I believe it is. Psalms chapter number 30. Joy is coming in a little while. Psalm chapter number 30, I believe it's verse number 5, if I'm thinking right. Psalms chapter number 30, look in verse number 5. It says, "For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. He said, weeping may endure for a night. But he says, but joy cometh in the morning." Listen, friend, if you're on the right side of this thing, if you're saved, if you belong to God, let me say this, there's a joyous day coming. There may be hard times to go through here on this life. You think, I'll never make it through. I just can't. Let me say, joy's coming. It gets better. Life, you listen, no matter, Job went through all the troubles that he went through. Guess what? You know what come to Job in the end? Some joy come to Job in the end. You say, I got to go through all that? No. But boy, just the little things. Well, I got to pay the next bill. I got to keep the heat on. I got to put groceries on the table. All those things. We put way too much stock in that stuff. Just understand that God's got it in control and joy is coming. There's a joyous day coming. There's one more. One more. I know I've been long. I know it's getting on past 12 o'clock. But if you would, bring your Bibles to one more place. Come to the book of Hebrews chapter number 10. There's our last point. Joy. You see, the jubilation or the excitement of sin may last a little while. You can see all these other things. Let me say this. Justice is coming in a little while. You can find that a jury of your peers can make you forsake your Savior in just a little while. Let me say this. In just a little while, there's joy coming. Let me say one more thing. Hebrews chapter number 10. Look in verse 37, if you would. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 37. And the Bible says this, "For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come." And I like how it ends up. It says, "And will not tarry." You know what's happening? You know what's going to happen in just a little while? Jesus is going to come. Take your Bibles, look in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Most of you should know it. We should about know it by heart. We all should be able to quote it by heart. And there's times I can get parts of it and times my mind don't work all the way. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, you know what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ? Verse number 13 in 1 Thessalonians 4 says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that ye which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, and with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." He says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Boy, we don't know the hour, we don't know the day, we don't know a lot of things, but boy, when it starts coming on fall, start paying attention, could come any minute. You know what the Bible says there in Acts chapter number 1? In Acts chapter number 1, they said, as they're standing there in Acts chapter 1, look in verse 11 there, it says, "Which also said," there's those the angels there, it says, "You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? He says, this same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go in heaven." Boy, you see Christians, and maybe they come get us a song. You see Christians all over the world just walk a defeated life. But they forget that, you know what, in just a little while, Jesus is coming. Boy, I'm glad that I'm on his side. Boy, a little while may be an undetermined amount of time. A little while, it may be undeterred by the future and all that's going on around us. A little while may be sometimes hard to understand. But let me say this. Let me say this. As they're getting ready, and preacher, you come. I'm done. But what they say, what I want to say is, some folks say, "Well, I'll give my life to the Lord in a little while." They say, "Well, I'll get saved in a little while. I'll start walking for God in a little while." And you know what happens? A little while don't ever show up in their life. You know what a dangerous place to be is? Putting God off and saying, "In a little while." Don't say "in a little while." Say now. Say now. Come on, brother. What page, brother?